every part of your word. Oh, Lord, but I said these people. Help the book, Lord, just and if there's one message that's found throughout the book of Judges, it's that sin. Hey, there's always consequences. And the key verse over and over again we find it this evening is in verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days, there's no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Each scene that we've seen just gets darker and darker as the glory of God is shunned. Now, if you missed last week, or if you've never really read this section of Scripture, it's really quite shocking. Upon first read, you go, is that in the Bible? Sounds like some science fiction horror movie going on here. Because the last time together, we saw that there were these perverted men from the city of Gibeah and in the land belonging to the tribe of Benjamin. They attempted to homosexual rape this Levite who was heading home with his concubine after she had played the harlot on him. Well, to save his own skin, this Levite takes his concubine and shoves her out the front door to this lustful mob. And they rape and they ravage her all night long. She crawls back to the house where her Levite husband was sleeping, but no one was up. No one was awake to hear her cries or let her in or even tend to her wounds, and she ultimately dies. Then to make matters worse, the Levite goes open the door and goes to walk out, and she sees her lying there and says, come on, woman, get up, let's go. Doesn't realize that she's dead. So then he dismembers her body and sends piece by piece to all the 12 tribes. There are 11 tribes. A horrific story. Now, as a result of sending these parts of her body out, he gets the response that he was hoping for. The tribes, minus Benjamin, were horrified, as you can imagine, to get a torso, a leg, an arm, a head. And so they gathered together, and this Levite tells, the evil that was done by the Gibeah, the men of Gibeah, through the tribe of Benjamin. And this is where we pick it up this evening. Look at verses 1 of chapter 20. So all the children of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, well, it's from the land of Gilead, and the congregation gathered together as one man before the Lord at Mizpah. And the leaders of all the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. The children of Israel said, tell us, how did this wicked deed happen? So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, my concubine and I went to Gibeah, belonged to Benjamin, to spend the night. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me, but instead they ravished my concubine so that she died. So I took hold of my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of the inheritance of Israel because they committed lewdness and outrage in Israel. Look, all of you are children of Israel. Give your advice and counsel here and now. Now, notice what the Levite leaves out of the study. First, he didn't mention any reference to the fact that he and his wife, his concubine, were having marital problems, which precipitated being in the wrong place at the wrong time in the first place. Secondly, he made it sound as though Gibeah had been his intended destination, never mentioning that the fact that we saw last time together, his father-in-law encouraged him to stay in Jerusalem, to not leave. Then thirdly, he inflated his personal danger by claiming that the men intended to kill him in verse 5. They didn't want to kill him. They wanted to rape him, though. So I'll give him that one. But fourth, he didn't mention the fact that he was a coward by throwing his concubine. And of course, they're going to be outraged after hearing only one side of the story. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:17, the first one. Right. Until his neighbor comes and examines him. this Levite is really the one responsible for getting himself in this situation. Don't get me wrong. Both were wrong and evil, but again, they were all doing what they thought was right in their own eyes, not seeking the Lord at all. So again, these tribes, minus Benjamin, they're outraged, they decide to demand justice. But as we will see, the Benjamites will decide to defend the perverts, the ones who raped the tribes of Israel. They're gathered together. Look at verse 8. All the people arose as one man, saying, "None of us will go to his tent, nor will any turn back to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. We will take 10 men out of every 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, 100 out of every 1,000, and 1,000 out of every 10,000 to make provision for the people, that when they come to Gibeah and Benjamin, that they may repay all the vileness that they have done in Israel." So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united together as one man. Message is loud and clear. 400,000 Israelites are gathered together at Mizpah, but instead of seeking the Lord, instead of asking God, "What would you have us to do over this tragedy?" they immediately jump into action to come against Gibeah and the Benjamites. Sometimes we are sometimes too quick to believe the lame excuse of others and seek revenge rather than seeking the Lord. I told him Proverbs 18:13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly." So in seeking revenge, they send men to all the tribes of Benjamin. Look at verse 12. "The tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, 'What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel.' The children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah, go to battle against the children of Israel. Their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000. All of these were men of war." Now it's interesting that there were 700. Reminds me of the brave left-handed all time Ehud, who killed Eglog, King of Moab. Chapter 3 of Judges. Then the fact that they could sling stones to within a hair's breadth of their target, that reminds me of David. But you see, here's the problem. The Benjamites also refused to get the story straight. Now they're willing to die defending these perverted. But their refusal to cooperate was definitely an act of rebellion against the Lord. You see, when sin isn't confessed and punished, it pollutes a society. It defiles the land. The wicked men of Gibeah were like a cancerous tumor in the body that needed to be cut out. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, when the church there was saying how loving they were to this man, who, and how accepting they were to this man who was mother. Paul says, "Knock it off. Your glorying is not good. You not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump." In other words, when God's people refuse to obey God's word, the results are always tragic. The spiritual life of a church is crippled and eventually destroyed when the congregation shuts its eyes to sin and will not bring church discipline upon its offenders. There can never be unity among the people of God. Out, and it affects the body of Christ. That's what we're seeing here. The result of covering up sin, the tribe of Benjamin declares war on the rest of the tribes of Israel. So the battle lines are drawn. Around 400,000 Israelites versus 26,700 Benjamites. Verse 18, "Then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, 'Which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin?' The Lord said, 'Judah first.'" Sounds good, right? They're approaching God. They're asking God. I mean, it's about time. But notice that they approach God with the wrong question. They ask, "Which tribe shall go first?" When they should have said, "What would you have us to do? What would you want us to do?" But you see, they had already made up in their minds what they were going to do, no matter what anyone else said. God. Now, God does tell them to send Judah in first, but that's only because the woman who had been assaulted and killed was from Judah. It was the wisdom from the Lord, but it was still no indication that God was going to do it. As we will see, look at verse 19. The children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. That is, the men of Israel encouraged themselves in the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against him. So the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day. So, first battle didn't go so well. Second day, shall I again draw near for the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord says, go up against him. Again, notice they didn't ask, are we going to, win this battle? They just said, should we go up against them? God was teaching them a lesson, and that is sometimes it's God's will for us to go through. Sometimes God allows us to. Sometimes it's God's will for us to go through trials and temptations to experience, to humble ourselves. That's what happens next in verse 25. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day and cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel. All these drew the sword. So why were they defeated again and again? After all, didn't the tribe of Benjamin need to be corrected? Yeah, but they all needed to be corrected. Because truth and truly seeking the Lord was nowhere to be found here. And the main problem with these other tribes of Israel is that they were way too eager to do this. They were way too eager to be God's instrument of wrath. They were seeking vengeance and not the truth. Even though the Lord told them in Leviticus 19:18, not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, love their neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. And we know Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge us. Vengeance always belongs to the Lord. When we choose to take matters into our own hands, all it does is destruction. So the whole thing is, Lord is using that to teach them all a lesson, to have the right hearts. And all of these stories, even as graphic as they are examples to us to teach us how we need. Hearts need to be that of reconciliation, never revenge. I like what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. He says, dear brothers and sisters, another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Bear each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Not in revenge, not to all show them, because it's going to backfire. So often today, praying for the guy. How about sharing with the guy and talking to the guy? And it's sure gotten popular in the podcast. Look at verse 26. Now the Israelites are coming home with their tail between their legs. All the children of Israel, that is all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, and the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. It's the son of Eliezer. Shall I yet go again out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I see? The Lord said, go up for tomorrow. I will deliver them into your hand. I like that now, finally, this third time. Really specific. Lord, what would you have us do? This, or do you want us that? And they ask the Lord, would you have us to stop fighting or keep fighting? And the Lord answers them. Come, he adds, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. They finally asked the right question. Lord, what would you have us to do? It wasn't, hey, Lord, we're going to do this, and so bless us as we go. I think we can do that from time to time as well. You know, we can get ahead of the Lord because we don't ask the right question. Lord, what would you have me to do? We're so quick to respond without seeking the Lord and then expect him to bless us. Realize what we did was wrong. We say, okay. This time the Lord promises a victory. Look at verse 29:5. Israel sent men in ambush all around Gibeah, and the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day, and put themselves in battle array against Gibeah, as in the other times. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. They began to strike down and kill some of the people, as at the other times, in the highways, one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah. In the field, about 30 men of Israel, and the children of Benjamin said, they are defeated before us as at first. And draw them away from the city to the highways. So all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array at Baal Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth from their position in the plain of Geba. 10,000 select men from all Israel came against Gibeah. The battle was fierce. But the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed that day 25,100 Benjamites. All these drew the sword. So while the rest of the tribes were learning a lesson in humility, verse 34 says the Benjamites did not know that disaster was upon them. They had previous victories, and even the sense of their present success, listen, was no sign of a future victory. That is why the real key to victory is found in humility. It's found in seeking the Lord. For Israel, it should have been an easy battle, but one day, 22,000 of them died. Second day, 18,000 of them died. But the third day, it says the children of Israel destroyed the day 25,100. Why is that? Well, I think it has everything to do with prayer. The prayer Israel prayed in the beginning was, second day, they prayed, are you sure you want us to go at all? But after something happened that was different from the two previous occasions, the third time we read in verse 26, the children of Israel and wept. And they sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings. They humbled themselves. They wept. They cried out to the Lord. I think today in our fight against got the school board elections coming up. I think, you know, we have elections coming up. Asking and saying, Lord, would you raise up the money? Instead of just kind of assuming, well, the Lord will take care of it. To humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord. See, they sought the Lord in humility and they found great victory. They recognized the Lord to direct them and lead them. In other words, they really repented. They said, Lord, we have sinned. Then they fasted and cried and sacrificed and recognized their sin in their own sin. And then they had victory. Yeah, it was God's intention that the enemy would be dealt with, but first they needed to realize, you know, the realization of their sin. They had to acknowledge their need for the Lord. After so the children of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. The men of Israel had given ground to the Benjamites because they relied on the men in ambush who had set against Gibeah. And the men in ambush quickly rushed upon Gibeah. The men in ambush spread out and struck the whole city with the edge of the sword. Now the appointed signal between the men of Israel and the men in ambush was that they would make a great cloud of smoke rise up from the city, whereupon the men of Israel would turn in battle. Now Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 of the men of Israel, for they said, as in the first battle. But when the cloud began to rise in the city in a column of smoke, Benjamites looked behind them and there was a whole city going up in heaven. And when the men of Israel turned back, the men of Benjamin panicked, for they saw the disaster come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction. direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them. And whoever came out of the cities, they destroyed in their midst. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily trampled them down as far as the front of Gibeah towards the east. 18,000 men of Benjamin fell. All these were men of valor. Then they turned and fled towards the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon. They cut down 5,000 of them on the highways. Then they pursued them relentlessly up to Gidom and killed 2,000 of them. So all who fell of Benjamin that day were 25,000 men who were valor. But 600 men turned and fled towards the wilderness to the rock of Rimmon, and they stayed at the rock of Rimmon for 4 months. And the men of Israel turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword. From every city, men and beast, all who were found, they also set fire to all the cities. Over 25,000 Benjamites were killed on the battlefield, on the highways, or as they fled into the wilderness. Gibeon was taken, the inhabitants were all killed. In fact, the Israelite army wiped out several other cities in a mop-up operation. Victory seemed complete. Israel had won the war. But they were about to lose the battle unless something was done. Look down at verse 1. Now the men of Israel had sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, "None of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife." Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel?" Their anger against Benjamin, the Benjamites, making an oath to never give their daughters to be the wives of any man from the tribe of Benjamin, probably seemed like the right thing to do. They made this oath without thinking about the consequences. Now, we looked at how foolish this was a couple of chapters ago with that man named Jephthah. Remember, he made a stupid vow that, you know, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll sacrifice an offering to the Lord as an offering to the Lord. Hi, Dad. The Bible says quite a bit about keeping our mouth quiet. Guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Watch over the door of my lips. Bible, it's not a biblical proverb. Israel wiped out almost all the Benjamites except for only 600. And now Israel realizes because of this foolish oath they made not to let their daughters marry anyone from the tribe of Benjamin, if they keep this oath, they'll no longer be a tribe of Benjamin. So now what do they do? Well, so now they seek the Lord. Good choice. Look at verse 3. It says, "O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that today there should be one tribe missing in Israel?" Now, if this weren't so tragic, it would almost be humorous. After all, Benjamin had outrageously rebelled against God by standing up for these sexual perverts, causing the rest of Israel to act in revenge. And now the result of their actions, one of the tribes are about to become extinct. And what do they say? "Help us, God." No, they don't say that. They say, "God, how could you let this happen? Why has this come to pass?" In other words, they're blaming God for this. Listen. I know there are times that we do the same thing. Violate God's word in some way. We ignore God's commandments. We don't listen to the leading of the Spirit. And tell, or we act in revenge. And then we have the guts to say, "Lord, how this happened in my life. My life was a mess." And instead of, you know, make matters worse, instead of seeking the Lord, we try and fix it on our own. Time when I was in ninth grade, a dumb kid, I was in this. The character that I was playing had this intricate cane that I had to walk around with. And our drama teacher handed it to me and said, "You be careful." Walked out and I said, "Oh, this is cool." I started throwing it. I'd have done that. So I'm catching it. Well, the last time I missed. How to get away out of this. There was no glue around, so I see this can of paint. I think, well, paint should hold it together enough so when I come out and go to use it, it'll break and the teacher will think that he did it. But I wasn't a real smart ninth grader, okay? Paint doesn't hold wood together. And I'm sitting there on the ground with this cane broken in half, a can of paint in front of me with paint on both ends. "What are you doing, Humphrey? I think we do the same thing with the Lord. We do something we know we shouldn't do, know we're not supposed to do, and then instead of just confessing and saying, Lord, I blew this, I'm sorry, we try to fix it ourselves. And then we just make matters worse. That's what happens here in verse 4. Things go from bad to worse. Look at verse 4 down to verse 9. So it was on the next morning that the people rose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The children of Israel said, who was there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? They had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. They made all these oaths. We're going to do this and we're going to do that against not seeking the Lord. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives? And they said, what one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? In fact, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So instead of waiting for the Lord to answer again, they went back and looked at the minutes they had before, you know, the meeting there. Remember this, that second foolish oath that they made. Anyone who's not joined with them in the battle against the Benjamites. And in fact, the men of Jabesh-Gilead had not joined them in the battle. So they formed this new plan. Let's go now and kill all those men from Jabesh-Gilead that didn't show up. That then will free up lives for the last remaining Benjamites, so we'll still have a tribe of Benjamin. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. That's the problem. Almost to the Lord going, hey, what about me? You're going to ask me about this? You're just doing this on your own? But understand, that's the theme of the book of Judges. So they thought, no, it's okay to ask the Lord, but we're still going to do what we want to do. Lord, should I get involved in this relationship? Lord says, no, and you do it anyway. God's plans are always better. Congregation sent out their 12,000 commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and children. And this is the thing that you shall do. I'm going to destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land. Got murder and then kidnapping. Lessons about seeking the Lord. The whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamin who were at the Rock of Rimmon and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the woman of the woman of Jabesh-Gilead that they had not found enough for them. Never mind about how any of these young virgins felt about having their loved ones slaughtered right before their eyes. Never mind forcing these women into marriage. No, they're upset because we didn't get enough girls to go around. What do they do? Verse 15. And the people Benjamin, because the Lord had made a void in the tribes of Israel. They blamed it on the Lord again. He made the void. Again, instead of seeking the Lord, then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives for those who remain, since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed? There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath to Benjamin. Then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, south of Lebanon. Therefore, they instructed the children of Benjamin, saying, go, lie in wait in the vineyards and watch, and just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh, then go to the land of Benjamin. Then it shall be when their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain that we will say, be kind to them for our sakes, because we did not take a wife for any of them in war. For it is not as though you have given the woman to them at this time, making yourselves guilty. There was no danger of a tribe of 400 families going extinct. bad that 200 guys would not have someone to marry. But notice how clever this strategy was in keeping their vow. Since the girls were being kidnapped, technically the fathers from Shiloh were not giving them to the Benjamites' wives. They were not really guilty of breaking the vow to not give their daughters as wives. What they're doing. Verse 20. Children of Benjamin did so. They took enough wives for their number from those who danced. And they wanted to return to their inheritance. That time, every man to his tribe and family. Like, they went fishing and came back with a catch. But then, these women were nothing more than a possession. And all of this carnage and destruction happened because one Levite didn't have the courage to stand up for what was right. Now, in their eyes, everything was back to normal. Everything was happy, at least on the surface. They wanted to get back to doing their own thing, not be bothered by doing what God was doing. It didn't matter that they murdered, that they kidnapped. Happiness was the goal, not holiness. It was wrong, it was stupid, but that's just the way it is. As their king, verse 25, the whole chapter of those days, there was no king in Israel. So ends the book of Judges. God's people greatly in need of a righteous king, a true judge, not only deliver them from their oppression. Now, I look at the culture that we just looked at. We have sunk into many gross. Mass murder of all time. Dismembering live babies from the womb. Every day we hear of kidnappings and rapes and serial killers and torture. Because we're doing the same thing. Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Why? Because they don't allow Jesus to be the king. When sin isn't exposed, confessed, and punished, as I said already, society. It defiles the land. I like what J. Vernon McGee says in his commentary. Yes, as he quotes an article written in 1928 of the Wall Street Journal during the Great Depression. It still applies to America today. What America needs today is not government controls, industrial expansion, or bumper corn crops. America needs to return to the day when Grandpa took the team out of the field in the early afternoon on Wednesday in order to hitch them to the old spring wagon into which Grandma put all of the children after she washed their faces shining clean. And they drove off to prayer meeting in the little white church at the crossroads underneath the oak tree, where everyone believed the Bible, trusted Christ, and loved. That's the solution. My prayer, and always has been, that America will be. I'm glad we're done with the book of Judges. After spending months in the sinful pollution of the book of Judges, Father, we thank you for it. Chapters, really bad, depressing chapters. Lord, we can find truth that we can apply to our life. Lord, help us to seek you always for everything in our life. Lord, help us to not get ahead of you and just think, well, I'll just do this or I'll just do that. Lord, oftentimes when we go to vengeance or to reply on our own, Lord, I pray that we just seek. Trusting you with all our heart, if we lean not on our own. Lord, election, Lord, that you would bring about the our elections coming up, Lord, that you would bring the right people in the right position. Curb the tide of evil, Lord, until you come. Thank you, Lord, for your love towards us. Christ, to see our need for you. Bless our night as we go our way, Lord. Use us.